Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 26th day of October, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and it is a really busy news day. A whole lot of things going on just about every front, including the economic meltdown, the political meltdown, and of course the World War III escalation and ultimate meltdown. We certainly have the continued false flags and escalation towards the inevitable terror. That's what happens when you have literally division after division of foreign invaders allowed to come into the country and then distribute themselves all over the place to various cells in all the cesspool cities, and of course, who knows where else. We'll get to at least some of the stories that are being touted by the waste stream in just a minute, but first, let's take a look behind the smoke before it gets too thick and do a quick headline review to set the stage. These are the stories that simply won't even be allowed to emerge normally on a day like today, but they'll give us a big hint as to what the misdirection is intended to achieve. Starting with a couple of the throwaways, like this one. Deadline Bangkok from the Associated Press, the California dictator Gruesom Newsom had a surprise meeting with his upline in communist China, dictator for life Xi Jinping, on Wednesday, after he was warmly welcomed, hey comrade, would you expect anything else, by other senior leaders in a display of friendliness, says AP, that stands in sharp contrast to the dialogue between the criminal government of the United States and criminal government in China over recent years. I mean, really, folks, they can't come right out and admit the puppet strings they have there in the oval orifice, can they? Gruesom Newsom's on a week-long tour of China, where he plans to push for more climate BS, and of course attempt to emerge as the front-runner for the next unelected dictator of the United States. He does, after all, have that color thing going against him. But I can't help but think if he comes out as a metrosexual or pansexual or whatever kind of sexual tranny, we'll know that not only is the fix in, he's the pick. Speaking of the fix being in, though, here's another story you're not going to see ever again. Remember the self-described blithering idiot? Yeah, he soft-pedaled it just a bit, but that was the gist of it. The high school principal, who bore just about the worst fruit in a really horrible public cesspool orchard, didn't even know what a fire extinguisher looked like or what would happen if you pulled it. Or so he claimed. Good grief. Did you think he might be charged with a felony or just thrown in the gulag without charges at all for a couple of years to cool his disgusting heels? Hell no. Was he even kicked out of Congress or censured? Oh, of course not. Far-left Democrat, but I repeat myself, Jamal Bowman, who pulled the fire alarm at the House and intentionally sabotaged a vote right there on camera, so it was hard to deny. Far more than anything that's been held in a gulag in the District of Criminal Swamp for at least 2 years was actually even accused of doing? Well, he has received his reward. Calling it a slap on the wrist, folks, would be an insult to real slaps on the wrist. He appeared before the so-called court on October 26th at 9:30 a.m. on the charge of a fire false alarm. And, of course, because he is a special person above the law, it was resolved a whole hell of a lot more quickly than any of the January 6th so-called insurrectionists. For the commission of an actual felony caught on tape, he pled guilty to a misdemeanor, and under the terms of the prosecutorial sellout, he wrote an apology to the Capitol Police. And guess what? It all seems to have just gone away. Meanwhile, Owen Schroyer, who didn't even touch a fire alarm, is in jail, beginning his 4-month sentence for a speech crime, while the poster boy for swamp felonies then proceeded to tweet out the following, quote, "No one in this country is above the law." And how's that for just rubbing your noses in it? By the way, I do have some counterpoint stories on the legal double standard front. No surprise, and they're also not really in keeping with the theme of things you're not going to hear about, because these, I'm sure you will, which means we'll probably get around to them later. But still, I guess you could argue that disrupting Congress might be a public service, certainly more so than killing tens or arguably hundreds of millions, they get their way, billions of people, as America's Dr. Mengele and all of those legions of evil who've been doing his bidding have been getting away with. Two stories on that front today, one from Steve Kirsch, who notes that the irresponsible attacks by an L.A. Times journalist on MSU professor Mark Skidmore's paper had motivated him to run his own survey of his readers to see what the actual harm numbers really are, from the Zyklon B injections, of course. Now, admittedly, folks, this is not what you call a scientific survey, There's a certain amount of selection bias because the people who are truly blind probably don't know anything about what's going on here anyway. But if you think about it and understand what we're talking about here, if they had been able to be included, it would probably just make the numbers look that much worse. But let's be honest, there's no chance of a large, especially public-funded scientific survey being done because those that will be paying for it will be pulling the strings and making sure that the results are far more biased than just anything that selection might accomplish. Anyway, over 10,000 readers, says Steve Kirsch, responded to his survey, and they clearly demonstrated that the COVID-not vaccines have killed, he estimates, at least 3.5 times as many people as the Fauci flu bioweapon itself. And that, in fairness, I have to add the words, so far. And he said he's had expert statisticians, epidemiologists, and others review the survey, the methodology, the results, and they couldn't come up with any complaints. I'm willing to put $1 million on the table right now, he added. This is right. And that the vaccines have killed more people than COVID. Any takers? And if not, why not? Well, we know the answer on that score, and we also know that it's not going to matter. But I do have this, a follow-on story that also is going to be obscured by the smoke today. Courtesy of vaccines.news and sites like author Vox Day, more revisionist history, says the headline, OSHA and its head now claims that the agency never, oh no, trust us, if we ever lied to you, never issued a COVID vaccine mandate.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I kid you not, folks, they are really trying to rewrite history, right, George? With a straight face, a top federal official in the Occupational Safety and Health Administration claims his agency never told private companies to implement Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine mandates, even after the Supreme Court rejected that very same mandate. Yeah, you heard that right. And if you're surprised, well, you shouldn't be. If you're shocked, come on, where you been? But if you're disgusted, at least that's an appropriate reaction. By the way, the story says tens of millions of private sector workers were impacted by the ruling, which was overturned in early 2022 after the U.S. Supreme Court blocked OSHA from enforcing their anti-constitutional, and now they're even lying about the fact that it ever happened, mandate. The Epoch Times reported the estimates back then said that probably 84 million people or so, about two-thirds of the entire private sector workforce, would be impacted by that mandate that Big Brother and his minions now insist, and their Ministry of Truth is out there rewriting history to make it so, never, ever happened. But they're going to do it again, don't you know? By the way, you knew this, but I might as well tell you how the ruse is going to play out. The mandate, they're saying, isn't a mandate because people had an option. It's kind of like a rapist saying, hey, it wasn't a rape because you had an option too. I just had that knife to your throat. I never actually told you it was going to happen if you said no, did I? Here's some kind of sort of good news, but it won't get much coverage. It does at least explain that the green energy panic, the inevitable result when people figure out that they've been lied to, and as a further result, they're going to suffer big time for it, and the green energy panic and collapse has only just begun. Siemens energy shares in Germany crashed Thursday amid a warning by the company that its wind turbine business was grappling with quality issues and offshore ramp-up challenges. They crashed 37%, as a matter of fact, says the Zero Hedge headline. As the renewable bust sparked a green panic, the company says they're evaluating measures to strengthen their balance sheet and discussing, here it is, state guarantees. If nobody else wants to buy this crap, hey, Big Brother, you bail us out. All of this comes as the financial crisis in offshore wind energy continues to brew, and even environmentalists, sick, are beginning to figure out they've been had too. From there, let's move towards talking about why the need is for so much smoke on a day like today. Quick headline, the U.S. just added another $600 billion in new debt in just 1 month. Tell me you're surprised. On the subtle signs of World War III front, Hal Turner's radio show is reporting that two State Department aircraft have left Tehran, Iran, designated State 23 and State 24. They took off, and as he puts it, that appears to indicate the talking is over. One flew to Amman, the other still in the air, as of press time. The war of words accelerated at the UN Security Council, where a testy exchange took place between Russian, Chinese, and Israeli ambassadors. The situation at the Gaza Strip, says the piece, probably an understatement, seems to be hitting the breaking point, at least diplomatically. Late yesterday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gave a nationwide television address telling Israel that, quote, the start date and time for the ground invasion of Gaza has been set. He just didn't say what it was yet. There are huge numbers of stories advising that when that invasion comes and they try to go door to door, the casualties will be horrific on both sides. And that's exactly what history has shown, folks. Most recently, Colonel Douglas McGregor, who spoke with Tucker Carlson and was confident enough in his sources to openly discuss a joint U.S.-IDF recon force taking heavy losses in Gaza, saying, we're not in a strong position. We're probably at the weakest point in our recent history. I think you've got to look at the realities of new weapon systems and new capabilities, referring to potential heavy casualties during simply a recon mission, he added, and I certainly think it is very dangerous for us, unquote. Another analyst said, when you consider it took 14 months for 50,000 Russian shock troops supported by 330 tanks to take Bakhmut, a city of only 16 square miles and a population of 72,000, the idea that it'll only take 3 months for Israel to clear out Gaza, which is basically an urban zone almost 10 times the area, but approximately 25 times the population, well, that's simply not credible, even without the threat of Hezbollah to the north. And then again, there's this. Hey, let's not forget how many Israeli and American soldiers might die at the hands of Biden-provided weaponry to Hamas. Citing reports, says Tom Ozimek via the Epoch Times, that advanced U.S.-made firearms, the kind that Americans aren't allowed to possess anymore, have ended up in the possession of the Hamas terrorist group in Gaza. Several members of the House Oversight Committee among the Republican side of the aisle are demanding answers from the Pentagon. Yeah, good luck. About what's being done to make sure that American-made weapons don't end up in the wrong hands. Well, I guess you'd have to say, arguably, way too little and certainly too late. The committee, wrote House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer of Kentucky and Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia in an October 23rd letter, the committee has seen reports that U.S. manufactured weapons are being redistributed and resold in secondary markets to terrorist organizations, including Hamas. And while I can understand that they might be upset, folks, I'm having a little difficulty believing they are truly that surprised. Because, as you probably recall, one of the sources of these U.S.-made weapons is the huge multi-billion-dollar stockpile left behind in the Biden turnover of American weaponry to Afghanistan and the Taliban. Another is related to the arms the U.S. is allegedly providing to Ukraine, but in fact seem to be ending up in the hands of a number of various Middle Eastern and other terrorist actors, including gun-smuggling criminal groups. And I don't even think they're talking about Fast and Furious in this case. So it's fair to ask, and a number of people seem to be, are the tunnels under Gaza already filled with megabucks worth or maybe more in advanced high-tech U.S.-made weaponry? Well, lots and lots more U.S. boys and girls, no doubt properly trained in transgenderism and LGBTQIA+, critical race theory and all kinds of other BS, but probably not aware of what they're up against and who's actually been paying for it, now die for this latest step in the New World Order? Or hey, maybe the deep state really does have a plan. Here's a story from Chris Menahan via Information Liberation that says, a report indicates Israel is planning to, and here's the quote, flood Hamas's tunnels with nerve gas under supervision of none other than the United States Navy, according to the Middle East Eye. That would, of course, folks, be a war crime and what once upon a time would have been called an atrocity. Before we got used to seeing atrocities become routine in places like grade schools and libraries, which says, quote, Palestinian resistance groups expect Israel to flood Hamas tunnels with nerve gas and chemical weapons under the surveillance of U.S. Delta Force commandos as part of a surprise attack on the Gaza Strip, said a senior Arab source familiar with the group to the Middle East Eye. Israel and the U.S., it says, hope to achieve the element of surprise, and I guess surprise now depends on whose military intelligence is more incompetent, in order to penetrate these Hamas tunnels, to rescue the estimated 220 hostages, and kill thousands and thousands of soldiers belonging to Hamas's Al-Qassam Brigade, said the source in the statement, noting the information comes from a leak originating, where else? In the U.S., probably the Biden regime somewhere. They can't verify the information in the leak, and that's no surprise. So yeah, folks, take it with a huge grain of salt, like everything else coming out of a war that arguably was a surprise to everybody because of the incompetence of the Israeli and U.S. and just about every other so-called intelligence agency that had anything to do with it. In other words, truth is the first casualty of war, and that's still more than obvious. But I guess you'd have to ask this question. Given that Israel was more than willing to become the first nation in the world to massively force vaccinate its own people, and of course the United States then doubled down and killed tens of millions more, not only with the Fauci flu original bioweapon, but the 1-2 Zyklon B follow-on punch, and a mandate that's now even being denied ever existed, every single bit of which violated not only the intent, but the explicit understandings of what have been called the Nuremberg Protocols. You don't kill people without at least giving them a choice, much less informed consent. I mean, really, and I hate to say this, but who are we kidding? Who would be remotely surprised by the use of a little bit of nerve gas and chemical weaponry to just top it all off? As Chris Minahan concludes, and not without a bit of similar cynicism, quote, the most moral army in the world strikes again. So with the stage set, folks, World War III in the escalation phase, now writ very large, and at least hundreds of thousands, arguably millions of potential terrorists already distributed throughout the once free United States and ready to do whatever it is they're told to do, whenever it is they're told to do it. And if you were paying attention to what happened south of Gaza in Israel, are you ready for what's going to happen nationwide in the United States? And what would we expect to be the trigger that kicks it all off? And furthermore, what would you, if you were an evil Bond villain, like those that are running this country and most of the rest of the world too, what would you do first? Maybe we saw the answer overnight. And remember, those people in Israel that were the victims of the Hamas invasion out of Gaza were pre-disarmed. Even though you might have thought they should have known better, they were utterly unable to fight back. And the results spoke for themselves. And if you've been paying attention to what the Biden Fuhrer and those pulling his puppet strings have been jonesing for in America since before day one, yeah, they want the American people completely disarmed, why, overnight, right on schedule, you saw yet another example of exactly what we've seen way, way too often to still be drinking the same Kool-Aid. But that doesn't mean they aren't going to continue to try to cram it down our throats. Let's go first to the New York Post. More objective coverage says a gunman killed at least 22 people in separate shootings across Lewiston, Maine on Wednesday night, according to law enforcement, sick, sources and reports. The person of interest, and you know what that means, folks, the alleged lone gunman behind the deadly mass shooting in Maine is reported to be a trained firearms instructor believed to be in the Army Reserves, according to law enforcement sources in the state. Now, right there, doesn't that kind of stink to high heaven? And just remember, less than a week ago, we had a trained pilot tried to down a plane in Alaska. What are the odds? Robert Card, age 40, stationed in Saco, Maine, was reported to have heard voices and threatened to shoot up the National Guard base where he was stationed, said sources. He'd been committed to a mental health facility over the summer, released after a 2-week stay, and nothing suspicious here at all, folks, right? I don't know, being a bit cynical makes you wonder what kind of grades his handlers gave him. The usual suspects are already crapping their pampers with joy. The Biden Fuhrer has already promised loads and loads of federal help. And the Daily Mail has headline after headline celebrating the occasion. Oh, by the way, guess what weapon the lone gunman chose to use or was provided with? Yep, the headline from the Daily Mail tells you all you need to know. Revealed, it says in the banner, the deadly secrets, booga, 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 of the AR-15, the weapon of choice for America's mass shooters, especially those that are on the federal dole, don't you know? Shorter than a baseball bat, it begins, and lighter than a bowling ball. The AR-15 rifle is America's favorite semi-automatic rifle. They don't say it, but that means you MAGA types out there, you people who actually know what the right to keep and bear arms was supposed to be about. It's affordable, says the piece. It's simple to shoot. Its gentle recoil makes it easy to aim. The AR-15 has a high-velocity bullet. Remember, the Biden Fuhrer says it's 5 times faster than anything, even on Star Trek. And this, says the Daily Mail, is what makes it an absolute, quote, killing machine and a dismally regular theme in America's, I would say it this way, government-funded epidemic of mass shootings. They left out one key point here, too, especially folks in gun-free killing zones where the patsies don't seem to have to worry about anybody being able to shoot back. But maybe that's what their spotters are for. If you're not cynical by this point, folks, you are literally not paying attention, and it's probably going to cost more and more people their lives. But guess what? I alluded to this up front. Notice that with all of the real terrorists in the country here, courtesy of the multi-year, multi-million man invasion at the open southern border, from MS-13 to Communist Chinese PLA to pick an Islamic terror group, pick a drug cartel. We're not seeing anything being reported about what these guys are up to. No, what we got to have first is well-trained U.S. trusted personnel, like pilots and firearms instructors in the U.S. Army, who grease the skids, get the American people all lubed up for having their weapons taken from them by force, as Biden is promising. And then, and arguably only then, will the other terrorists, the real ones, be unleashed. Just like we're getting used to, just like we saw oh so effectively there in Israel. Let's start to wrap up with this, because amid all the smoke and amid all of the flames and indecision and finger-pointing, all of a sudden on Tuesday night, the House Republican caucus came together and elected Representative Mike Johnson as their speaker-designate, whereupon he then became, with unanimous Republican approval, Speaker of the House. Who could have thought it? And then, as his first action as Speaker, the House passed a resolution almost unanimously in an overwhelming vote of 412-10 saying that the U.S. stands with Israel in the wake of the October 7 Hamas attack, and as Israel is relentlessly bombing Gaza, the resolution reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to provide military aid to Israel and said that Congress will work to pass more. Can you kind of see where the train is headed here, folks? Does look like at least that one is back on the tracks. On the legal front, there is still more evidence that the FBI and the DOJ attempted to shut down investigative activity into the Biden crime family. Are you shocked? And they initiated a cover-up of critical criminal misinformation. They labeled it foreign disinformation. In other words, they lied. They committed obstruction of justice. Now, this is the part that would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. Grassley presented his findings in a letter to who? The criminals that have been doing the cover-up. Yeah, Merrick Garland, the so-called attorney general, and FBI director Christopher Wray, saying, hey, you guys had better quit covering up things and obstructing justice. No, they're not going to do that. The letter, he said, has findings that indicate there is and has been an effort among certain Just Us Department and FBI officials, and hint, hint, you know who they are, just look in the mirror, to improperly delay and stop full and complete investigation into the Biden crime family. He didn't put it that way. I will, of course. Not limited to FD-1023s referencing the crime family. Now, here's the thing that's new and of interest. Just one initial example, he said, I have been made aware that at one point the FBI maintained over 40, that's 40, confidential human sources that provided criminal information relating to the Biden crime family, Joe Biden, James Biden, and Hunter Biden. And he went on to say, what we already know, how they used it to discredit the laptop from hell and so forth and so on. Then there's another story. President Trump, who was actually elected, as it turns out, but if you say that, like Owen Schroyer, that's a thought crime and a speech crime, and you'll probably end up in the gulag like so many others, he stormed out of a courtroom as the judge refused to dismiss the bogus trial there after Michael Cohen, one of the main witnesses against him, admitted that he had been lying under oath, and he never ordered Trump or his Trump Organization CFO, Alan Weisselberg, to inflate his assets, which is basically the whole claim of this latest trumped-up investigation, which is not an investigation. It's a witch hunt. And by the way, there is the Letitia James. What a scum. You know what, is seeking $250 million in damages, even though there's no victim in this so-called fraud case because there's no fraud. Okay, so what we're seeing, in other words, here is a legal system, folks, that has nothing to do with law anymore. So since some of these legal stories have to do with exposing the corruption that's associated with destroying any alternative to the deep state, and that includes Donald Trump, even if that was the only thing he accomplished, it's something important. So for now, I'm just going to harken back to a bit over a year ago with a reminder of how we got where we are today. Hal Turner on his radio show weighed in thusly, pathetic, he begins, our government is now against fully half the country, plain and simple. We have undisputed public evidence of the Clintons having violated federal law. We have public, reliable evidence of the Bidens violating the law, but they've let all of that go while raiding Trump. And then there's this huge psyop, ongoing for years, calling itself Q or QAnon, telling millions of people this is all part of the plan. The deep state is panicking because Trump. And he says, insert some nonsense here, like Trump had holy water in that safe he's going to use to resurrect JFK Jr., and in 2 weeks they'll arrest the deep state and hang them all at Gitmo because, yep, the patriots are really in control, despite what it might look like. Or maybe they'll just keep it short and sweet and say something like, say it again, the deep state is panicking. The patriots are in control. That's why all those people had to be killed and injured by the vax, because Trump is playing 256D chess. The entire Q and QAnon projects are designed to keep you docile, and they keep piling on hopium, using the most idiotic, outrageous nonsense to keep you, the dumbed-down American public, docile. The entire QAnon effort has been a complete, total, absolute fraud from the get-go to keep you docile, and millions of you, he notes, fell for it. So now that the FBI has raided Trump's estate at Mar-a-Lago, will you finally pull your head out of your you-know-what, except that you've been had and made a fool of for years, and start taking action? You know that the people who are doing this to Trump right now have already not stopped at murder. They've certainly done it with elections, and they're not about to stop now. He cites some other examples. You've heard some of them, but they bear repeating. The FBI knew in advance about Pulse nightclub shooter Omar Mateen. They were tipped off by the local sheriff. 53 died there. They knew in advance about the Las Vegas shooter, allegedly Stephen Paddock. 60 dead, and some of us would say that's just the tip of that iceberg, folks. Notice you still haven't heard anything about it, including the fact that they were using, no, not bump stocks, but full auto weapons, in more than one location. The FBI knew in advance about Tashin Malik and the San Bernardino terrorists, 14 dead there. They knew about Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza in advance, 26 dead there. They knew about the Boston Marathon bombers, the Tsarnaev brothers, tipped off by the Russians, 3 dead there, hundreds injured. They knew in advance about Parkland High School and Nicholas Cruz, 17 dead. Fort Hood shooter Nidal Hassan, 13 dead. They knew about the Boulder, Colorado shooter Ahmad al-Aliwi Alissa, 10 dead. They knew about Garland, Texas. They knew about 9/11, almost 3,000 dead there. They had a massive amount of evidence concerning McVeigh's accomplices at the Oklahoma City bombing, and a whole lot of lying going on there, still being covered up. 168 dead. They entrapped General Flynn. They knew in advance, and they facilitated January 6th, and ultimately, and he's not alone here, folks, it's pretty clear the FBI is a bona fide domestic terrorist organization weaponized against its own countrymen. Again, think Gestapo and SS. The people, he concludes, who overthrew our government, past tense, with that fraudulent election in 2020, and they almost succeeded back in 2016, but for the level of the landslide recall, well, they will not stop until they are stopped. Those are the facts. They are not in dispute. And they still aren't, folks. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.